Hello everyone, welcome back to The Triage. I'm your co-host Natalie, and I just wanted to welcome everyone to this week's episode. So I haven't been here the past few weeks. I've been studying for my final exams, but I'm so excited to be here with you all for today's episode, and I'm also so excited to be embarking on this journey with my two best friends.
Hi everyone, I'm Rachna, and just wanted to say we're so excited to finally have you on, Natalie.
Thank you.
This is going to be an amazing journey for all of us.
Woo! Thank you.
We were all saying before this how we always knew we'd work together again in some capacity after doing student government together, and here we are.
Absolutely.
And it hasn't taken us that long, so we're excited. And I'm Christy, and we are all thinking of you out there. We know this isn't an easy time. We know that the news is exhausting and frightening, and this is why we are here and why we started The Triage together at this time, to make these complex and scary healthcare topics easier to listen to. And what we want to talk about this week is mental health during this pandemic. A lot of people are saying that after COVID-19 or lingering in the shadows of COVID-19 is the mental health pandemic and how it's going to come. But honestly, it's already been here, and it's been here for a while. And the reason why this hasn't been talked about enough is because there's stigma, but we also lack data that helps inform us about what to prioritize in terms of public health. And data impacts where resources are targeted. Heart disease is number one cause of death in adults in the U.S., and cancer is number two cause of death of adults in the U.S. And even though death by suicide is number 10 cause of death among U.S. adults, most mental health-related deaths are hard to track and are sometimes tracked under accidental deaths, which further enforces the lack of funding. And the reason why I bring up heart disease and cancer is because those illnesses are widely talked about. There are a lot of nonprofits to raise money and spread awareness, and the same thing has not been seen for mental health. And since there is still stigma, people still aren't getting screened or diagnosed at a normal rate compared to other illnesses, but we will talk about that later. And so we wanted to just set the record straight and let you know why this is an important topic to talk about always and not only now.
Yeah, Christy was talking a lot about how they do have a lot of numbers for heart disease, and it's just because they have more palpable numbers and more palpable ways to measure those things. The UN did put out a statistic that's saying that depression affects approximately 264 million people worldwide. And that's all approximate because they don't really have a good way to measure this. And I think after this whole pandemic ends, that number is just going to increase. And, you know, we love giving you statistics and we love giving you real data on The Triage, but we want to be really open with you guys and vulnerable about this topic because we struggle with this too.
Yeah, and we're just going to walk you through how we've been doing these past couple of months and what mental health has meant to us in general. I started a new job a month before stay-at-home orders were announced in Virginia, where I live. And it's been interesting, but I'm feeling so privileged to have a job, still feel connected with my coworkers, and feel supported at work. It's not easy to start something new and then kind of get ripped out of that onboarding process and that process to make relationships with the people I work with in person. But again, I'm just so lucky that I have a job. And my commute helped me set my focus for the day. I would read, I would listen to music or podcasts, and getting that walk in and that fresh air was so great for me, and losing that makes me feel off balance. And it's the other thing keeping me off balance is that my bed is right next to my desk and I don't have a proper work set up because I had no idea that I was going to be staying home for so long. And I don't know about you out there, but I feel like I have more pressure to get everything done perfectly to show that I'm capable of working from home. So I definitely am working way more hours than I usually would just to prove that I can do this and that I can do it well. And I also started going to therapy again during this time, and they have been phone calls. But now that everyone is doing telemedicine, it's hard to find a time that works for both me and my therapist, but the online worksheets that we do when we're not able to talk to each other are working really well, and we've adapted quickly to this new type of work that we're doing together. And I, of course, want to acknowledge that I am a white cisgender woman, and it's fairly easy for someone like me to find a therapist who looks like me, speaks my language, and understands where I'm coming from. So I just always want to acknowledge my privilege there in talking about therapy. But my last thing is that I just don't know when I'll see my family again. And I'm in Virginia, and they're in New Jersey, in the big hotspot of the country. And so it's just been tough to think about what they're going through and not know when I'll see them in person again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Christy, for sharing that with us. And I know that your family's thinking of you, and they're so proud of you for just working so hard in Virginia and doing what you do best, like standing your ground, doing your work, like making a difference all your other pastimes, which we're going to talk about later too, like our positive experiences staying home. So just thank you so much for talking about that. And I really like the point that you talked about with the privilege in finding a therapist who looks like you and speaks your language and identifies the same way you do, because I actually had the same privilege as well, and it was very enlightening. So thank you so much for sharing that. I also just started therapy. I actually started therapy 1 week before quarantine started, so I was trying to get into a good headspace just to get into spring. I definitely feel I'm affected by seasonal depression disorder, so I'm definitely affected by that. And yeah, so I was going to try to be proactive and work on that transition from winter to spring, and then we got hit with COVID. So getting to know her on Zoom has been very interesting, but she's a lovely woman. We are blossoming into a great relationship, but she is very helpful. So it's definitely been a resource that I don't want to take for granted. I'm lucky that I have insurance that I could work with in this time. A lot of insurances are, however, definitely lessening the costs of co-pays during this time for telehealth care in general. So that's definitely something to check out, everybody, for therapy and just other health concerns as well. So something to look out for and investigate. But yeah, I really also identify with the loss of routine that you're talking about. I really am affected by not having my daily routine. Something that I work a few jobs, and at the end of the week, at Thursdays and Fridays, I would typically go to New York City for my internship that I just started this semester. And it's an internship that I feel like I've been working for my entire undergraduate career, which is funny because I did graduate, so working towards an internship may seem silly, but it's in the nonprofit sphere. I've been trying to get my foot in the door there for so, so long, and now I have this amazing internship that I'm so grateful for and love pursuing. But it's now been, I now work from home. So I felt like I was working up to the week with my other job, and class was like working up to the almost like reward of going to New York and spending Thursday and Friday there. And I got to see my boyfriend. He moved to the city, so that was something that I absolutely loved to do, was to be able to see him there. And then the weekends I would get to spend with my friends. And that's something too to highlight, is that loss of time, like Christy, you mentioned your family and friends and significant others, all these social relationships make up who we are as people in little ways, and also just bring us happiness, bring us joy. There are support systems. So, and what's amazing is that we do have technology like FaceTime and social distancing practices in which you can continue to hopefully see those people if they're within a geospatial distance that you can access. But there's that loss of quality time, and that's okay. Something my friends and I always love to do, our Duncan runs, we call them, where we get Duncan and we drive around our town and just catch up from the craziness. Yeah. So I do miss that as well. But I did have Duncan for the first time this past weekend, and it was really, really great. I hadn't had it for a few weeks. So definitely, I have my good days and my bad days, and I feel like a lot of people could feel the same. I know Monday I just had a really rough day, and I just was really down, but I kind of let myself feel it. I let myself feel sad. I stayed in bed after work. I played video games, and I kind of just let myself experience that. I didn't want to bottle it up, because there's sometimes you feel like that you have to keep on a brave face, and that's, I feel like a lot of people feel like that right now with COVID as well, but you don't have to. You could feel it. You can let yourself feel it. So that's something that it was just getting to me, the tediousness, the repetitiveness of quarantine routine was getting to me a little bit, and I just took that day for that evening for myself, and I think it helped. I definitely think it helped.
Yeah. Wow, thank you guys so much for sharing your stories. I mean, Christy, especially with you talking about your family, I am currently quarantining with my family.
Me too.
I'll be honest, I don't get along with them all the time. We have our typical family fights. And I guess you sharing that made me realize that I do appreciate that I am here with them and that I do have my support system here.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I don't know. There's some people who are quarantining out there alone. So it's definitely hard for those people to not have anyone there. So
yeah, I'm lucky I have roommates.
Yeah, so I definitely appreciate that I'm with my family. But just a little bit about what I'm struggling with right now. So I am a medical student and I'm in my second year. I just finished my second year, actually.
Woo-hoo!
Yay! But
I'm so proud of you.
Plot twist, I have an exam that's coming up and is the first of my board exams and is an exam called Step 1. And it's a very stressful thing to study for on its own. There is a lot of pressure in the medical community to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of had to be competitive to get into medical school anyways, but this exam just brings all of that stress out of everyone. So we're all competing against each other to do really well on this exam. We're all trying to compare ourselves to each other on our practice exam grades and everything. And then on top of all of this, COVID is happening. So I had my exam canceled, which Christy and Natalie know about. And I was very, very stressed that week because this is an exam that I've literally been preparing for since January/before January. And luckily, I'm very thankful that I was able to rebook it and find a date. But I know that there's still some people who weren't able to find dates. So I don't know. I've just been struggling a lot with that and just trying to, you know, do well with that and focus on my studying and try to focusing more on that. But then with everything going on with COVID, I get distracted. It kind of bogs me down. And I'm with my family right now, which I usually would be at my apartment. And that's kind of disrupted my routine and studying. So it's just been really hard in terms of that. And I don't know. I think that when I look back on my struggles, I realize that I do have some privileges in terms of I have a roof over my head. I don't really need to worry about working right now because I'm a student. And I think we want to really address with this podcast is that there's a lot of people who don't have those privileges that we have right now. There are people who are losing their jobs. They're worrying about feeding their kids. They're kind of, like we mentioned before, they're socially isolated, they're living alone, and they don't have any terms of contact. So we want to address that people are kind of struggling with those kinds of things too.
Yeah. And the frontline workers
are absolutely.
You know, whether you're an essential worker working in delivery or you're a nurse working in a hospital, I mean, these people are out there facing a lot of these traumatic things head on. And so they are experiencing mental health issues right now in a completely different way. I don't want to forget about them either.
Yeah, absolutely. Really big thank you to our essential workers. And I really like how you mentioned delivery people. They work so hard to get us our necessities. Yeah. There's so many different essential things that have to be delivered to homes, medicines, food. And then, of course,
even the sanitation workers, it's something that we definitely need to keep our society running, and they are still working. They're still out there.
Yeah. Yep. And they don't know, for instance, maybe people who work, like, who are garbage workers, they don't know what trash they're picking up either, and they're doing it. They're maintaining the public health of our everyday, and that's something that's so important too. So definitely a huge thank you. Thank you, Christy, for bringing that up. Huge thank you to our essential workers. And another core belief and something that we believe as the triage is that there's more that makes up health than what meets the eye, I guess you could say. Working, like having a job, not even just for insurance, although insurance is such a huge part of what having a job means in this country, so definitely the insurance aspect, but having a job because you have money, and money could help you feed your families like we're talking about. Money could help you purchase a gym membership. Money can help you buy medicines when you're sick. So that's one aspect of it. Independence, emotional stability, healthy relationships. These are all aspects of health that might not always come to mind when you think of a health-related struggle, but it's something we're going to continue to dive into on the triage as time goes on, is that health affects all aspects of life, and all aspects of life affect health. So it's something we just wanted to definitely highlight.
So important.
And, you know, talking about something that might affect health that you might not expect, we wanted to give a really big shout out to all of our grads from this springtime. We're recording this episode on May 20th. Yeah, so a lot of really big celebrations are going to be happening in the upcoming weeks. Some may have happened already. And the reason why I say this affects health is because people are really sad. Some of the high school undergraduate, graduate grads of 2020 are going to be missing a lot of important ceremonies, proms, senior weeks, thesis presentations, just really amazing culminating milestones that, although you're not experiencing them viscerally, you're still being celebrated, and we're still thinking of you, and you're still going to continue to make that incredible impact that you've been making for the past 4, 6, however many plus years that you've been in your academic experience. And we just wanted to say that we're so proud of you, and we're thinking about you, and that sadness or frustration or just that the feeling that this is unfair, it's valid because it is unfair. We hear you. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot of backlash online for people expressing the sadness, and I just don't think that's fair. That I don't think is fair either, honestly.
It's not fair.
Yeah, like this
it
is
really
something
isn't.
Yeah, that they've worked hard for,
because,
and it's okay.
You know, like a lot of these people didn't get closure, and that's so important when you're moving from one aspect of your life to another.
Absolutely.
These people are going to be, you know, looking for their first jobs, finding their first jobs. They're going to be going from high school to college, and they don't have that closure to kind of move on to that next chapter of life. So we definitely feel for you guys, but congratulations. You definitely achieved something that, you know, not everyone can achieve. So you guys are amazing, especially for going through all of this and being positive. I mean, we've seen a lot of posts about people trying on their prom dresses and having their virtual ceremonies, and they've been so cute. So
making the best of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone has been trying to make the best of it. And I don't know, just a lot of people also had been struggling lately with substance abuse, and that was something that we wanted to highlight here. You know, since the closures happened, alcohol stores have been considered an essential service, and people have been joking and laughing about that, but it's kind of kept open because people who are reliant on those substances to get through the day, to get through the week, and are very hooked on those substances, they literally need to keep drinking to survive. Otherwise, they'll go through withdrawal, and that can literally kill you. But as far as people who aren't necessarily substance abusers before the crisis, I think that coming out of COVID-19, there will be a lot more people who are hooked to these drugs, because people do use it as a coping mechanism. I'll admit, I'll have a glass of wine when I'm stressed personally.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And this has been an extremely stressful time for everyone. So I think that with nothing else to do, people are just falling back on using alcohol, and they're feeling like, or they're going to be more reliant on using that moving forward from COVID.
No, and I think that's important to bring up, Rachna, and something I want to say is that to all of you out there, if you are seeing someone Snapchatting or texting you a lot about how much they're drinking and it's at a rate that is unusual for this person, I urge you to check in on them and ask how they're doing, because if a lot of our country is going to experience more people abusing substances and becoming depressed, I think if we all talk to one another and check in on one another, we can help help people before it gets too bad for them. So just wanted to say that. But yes, we talked about substance abuse. We talked about depression a little bit. But another thing that our country is experiencing now and has been for the past couple of years is heightened stress and anxiety. And that doesn't always have to mean that people have been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder or anything like that, but people have been experiencing these feelings at a greater rate. And a big data point that I think is interesting is through the crisis text line. So the crisis text line is like a text version of the suicide hotline. I'm actually a crisis counselor for them and it's amazing, but what they do is they release their crisis trends publicly. They don't release every single thing. Like, they do have a frontline workers campaign right now and they haven't released their data around that publicly yet, but it'll be interesting to see when that comes out. But they have a lot of reports about what people text in about and where they are located and what time of day and what time of year people text in. And so I have this linked in the description, but what I thought was interesting is that even before this crisis, California, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey were in the top 10 states that were texting in for anxiety and stress. And this was before COVID-19. And these states are also the most impacted by COVID-19. So I can't imagine what they're going through right now. And another data point that I thought was interesting was that there's a graph that you'll see that shows all of the states, all texters from all states experiencing anxiety and stress across time. And there are two huge jumps in this number. And one of them being in November 2016. So that was when the election happened between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And then another big jump was over the past 2 months from March to April. And so it's showing you that more people are texting in and there's been a gradual increase, which also comes with great communications campaigns, people trying to reduce the stigma that surrounds mental health. But I just think that's important to keep in mind, that more people are seeking help and more people are wanting to talk to somebody about what they're feeling. And I talked a little bit before about how people aren't screened for mental illness in the same way that a lot of us are regularly screened for other illnesses in our physical checkups each year, and not all of us go to a primary care physician all the time. So screening for mental health is huge. And in this article that is also linked, the executive director of Mental Health America said that screenings over the past year have been up 150%.
Wow.
And 11% of that has been people who have post-traumatic stress disorder. And this is another thing that is really going to come from this health crisis that we're having, is that a lot of our frontline workers and a lot of our essential workers, and even all of us who are experiencing really tough times, we're going to have trauma from this. This is an extremely stressful time. And we always think about our veterans when we think about PTSD, which is of course true and accurate, but PTSD is going to be much more widespread after this. And so we have to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing those numbers, Christy. I think that it's really scary to think about, but I'm glad that there is a resource like that where people can text in so that there's some sort of outlet for these people to kind of reach out.
We'll talk about that a little more later.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the topic of resources and healthcare resources, we wanted to talk about the HEROES Act, which has been passed in the House. So it is a $3 trillion, with a T, stimulus bill for healthcare, but only $3 billion of that money has been allocated for behavioral health services. So $3 billion, it's a great number, but when we take a step back, what was fought for was $38.5 billion by the National Council for Behavioral Health and 40 other national groups addressing mental health and mental health, which falls under, as we know, like a category of things such as substance abuse, depression, anxiety, and other different mental health disorders. So these organizations that are advocating for that, they didn't get the money that they were advocating for, and they didn't get nearly enough, in my opinion, because of what Christy is talking about, that we are going to need to prepare for the aftermath of COVID while we're still in the heart of it right now, and we don't know exactly how much longer we're going to be experiencing fallout from COVID and all of that, all of those important things that should definitely be focused on right now. We also need to prepare to take care of our frontline workers, like Christy's talking about, to take care of ourselves. And we need to do that with bills like the HERO Act, and hopefully the HERO Act will be passed in the Senate as well. But that is what we know about the HEROES Act currently, and we are going to be talking about healthcare policy a lot on this podcast. It's something that we wanted to introduce as a new segment because us as people living in this country, we have a right to know the different types of legislation that goes on in our government, and healthcare policy could be tricky. It could be wordy. It could be filled with healthcare jargon, and something that we all, some of our strengths is that with our healthcare backgrounds, we could kind of dissect this for everybody on this podcast. So that's something that we wanted to start focusing on in the upcoming week. And also, too, something to keep an eye out for is that the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, they have a lot of updates in the coming weeks for people to account for people not having access to in-person visits. So that telehealth that we mentioned earlier. So definitely check with your providers. We want to emphasize that if you feel like that you're having a physical health concern, reach out to your primary physician, or if you're able, reach out to them if you're able. And firstly, see what measures they're taking to prevent COVID in their offices. They could be getting no patients and have an extremely clean space and it could be accessible for you to enter. Or they may offer telehealth services. So if you're able, definitely check that out. And then as well with mental health, if you're comfortable seeking out care such as therapy, Christy and I have talked about how we're like learning to just embrace it really and utilize that resource. If not, the crisis text line is a great place. If you just really feel like you need to talk to somebody, that's a resource that Christy's been explaining on the podcast as well. And we're actually going to get into talking about how we're prioritizing our mental health also. So earlier we talked about the struggles that we're experiencing, but we wanted to share some positive coping mechanisms that we've been using to deal with the stressors brought on by COVID-19. Personally, I've been reading a lot. I've loved to read my whole life. That's like my go-to thing when people ask, what's your hobby? I tell them I like to read. I probably told Christy and Russian I like to read when they first met me.
Harry Potter. Ravenclaw.
Yeah, rest in peace my old Instagram handle. If you know, you know, Radiant Ravenclaw. But yeah, so I'm one of those people where reading is a part of my personality, and I'm not sure if I'm proud of that or if I'm just have to accept it. But I've also been drinking a lot of water. That's a new thing that I've definitely been prioritizing, being at home, the therapy sessions that I've mentioned. Love my therapist, she's amazing. it's been that has given me some sense of routine as well. We try to set the same appointment time every week, and that's something that, okay, this day, this time, huge. Yeah, it really helps to give me some sense of normalcy, some new normalcy, I guess I should say. And the last thing I have been doing is exercising. Christy and Rachna also know that I do not exercise. I believe in it. I think it is essential for people to do, but I am awful at it. So I have been exploring different YouTube videos, ones aimed at beginners, and it's been really transformative, I feel like, to my mental health. I felt myself just like working from home all those hours, 9 to 5 every day. And I didn't like it. I didn't like how I was feeling. And I liked the feeling of movement. So don't be intimidated if you're like me and you have not really worked out before this. They have all different levels. They have for people of all different abilities. They have dance routines, cardio, high intensity interval training. Yes, I know what that word means now. And and they also have, if you want to focus on certain body parts, they have everything on YouTube. 100% recommend. Start small. build your way up, do a TikTok dance. That's what I've been doing to prioritize my mental health.
Thanks for sharing that thing about exercising. Because, yeah. I have been going to the gym for a few years now, and for me personally, I've actually been struggling, like, transforming that gym fitness to home fitness, and I did find a lot of videos that are actually really good online for working out at home. I feel like it hits different. I don't know, all these workout videos.
Yeah.
It definitely is a different way to work out, but it's been really good, and that's what I've been doing a lot for helping with my mental health. And I've been doing a lot of yoga too, which I know it sounds really quote unquote basic, but it's been really good for me in terms of it has like this whole meditation component, and it just kind of gives you that 10 minutes a day to kind of clear your head and just not think about anything and just be with yourself. So I've really liked that. I've been going for a lot of walks with my dogs, and that's been really good for me. And I've been investing in skincare, which I have not really looked into a lot of skincare things. And luckily, you know, I have the means to purchase a few things. The Ordinaire is a really great brand if you're trying to find some cheap products.
I'm looking into them.
I don't know why, but that's been a really great way for me to distract myself and to do other things.
It's a good distraction.
It is a good distraction. But I'll be honest and say that I haven't been prioritizing as much as I should be doing that. I mean, with my exam and everything, I literally study for probably like 10 to 12 hours a day. And I'm just not giving myself enough time. And, you know, it's okay to be at a different level in your mental health journey, but you should be trying to think of ways and like little things that you can be doing day by day to kind of get to where you want to be. So I don't know, just for me, like, I haven't been working out as much as I usually do. I know I talked about the videos and stuff, but just to set a goal of saying, okay, this week I want to do 4 days of exercise, that has been really big for me. And, you know, setting little goals like that has been good for me for progressing. But I'm certainly not where I want to be, but I'm trying, you know.
No, you're doing amazing. You're doing, even doing something, it's doing something. Like, you're doing the best you can. And I think
even
it's amazing.
Even just little things.
Yeah, you're prioritizing your exam, which is wonderful. And we see you studying. Like, I definitely have been taking note of how hard you're working. And I'm sure Christy could definitely say the same. we're really proud of you. Yeah.
And once that's over with, whenever that happens, it'll be worth it, and you're going to be the best physician ever.
Yes, ma'am.
Who has with perfect, beautiful skin.
Perfect skin.
Yes.
I've been doing a lot of different things. I've been going for long walks. It's something that I've always done, and I think that has saved my mental health. I definitely have to be more careful because I definitely go a little later at night, and I'm alone and wear headphones, so I should probably be smarter about that. But a workout that I really like that you all should check out is the card workout, where you just use a deck of cards, and I can link how to do that in the description, but it's been a really fun way to work out. I do it over FaceTime with friends, or I do it with my roommates, and it's a way to incorporate exercises that you really like to do and that make you feel strong, while also like pushing you to get your sweat on and feel good after you do it. I do this podcast, I have another podcast, and it just fills me up. And I know that there are a lot of people out there saying that being productive during this time is like not great, or people are saying it's possible to be too productive, but following through with things I'm passionate about really make me feel good and make me feel like I have something to work for, and they make me feel like I have purpose. So if you have something out there that you really love doing, like, do it and go for it.
Yeah, it's something new if you want to try it.
Exactly. And I've been loving watching Love Island. I watch it with my roommates, and then I watch it right as I fall asleep. I just think it's so funny, and it's like a genius reality show. Like, I don't really like a lot of reality TV, but Love Island is like, I don't know what it is.
Out.
It's like, it's colorful. It hits different. It has great music. Everyone's accents are beautiful. They're beautiful people. I don't know. It just takes me out of my day for a little bit. And I also volunteer for the crisis text line, and even though it is really hard sometimes because you are dealing with people who are at their lowest and are you're really trying to help them get from a moment of crisis to a moment of calm, it really does make me feel better because I know a lot of people out there feel helpless during this time as we're all staying home and there aren't ways to really do things for our society hands-on right now. A lot of things you can do are online, even if you just donate a little bit of money, if you can donate your time a little bit, everything counts and it really helps fill you up and helps you contribute. And like I said, therapy's been really helping. And so,
and of course, you can text hello to 741-741.
Like Natalie said, insurance companies are waiving a lot of mental health related fees and are waiving a lot of fees related to telemedicine. And of course, you can text hello to 741-741. That connects you to the crisis text line. And I think the crisis text line is specifically important now because as we're all living closely to one another, we're living with our families and with friends, sometimes hopping on the phone with either a therapist or, bless you.
Sorry.
Seasonal allergies too. We could talk about that in another episode. We're all struggling. But we're all close together now, and sometimes hopping on the phone with a therapist or with, let's say the suicide hotline, it's not comfortable for everyone. So being able to talk about how you feel through text makes it a lot more accessible and a lot easier for people. But if you are interested in seeking therapy or finding low-cost options, you can go to 211.org. You can go to psychologytoday.com/US, and you can go to Aunt Bertha, AuntBertha.com to find lower cost options in your area. And we will, of course, have that linked in the description and we'll share it on our page. But we wanted to end off this episode with things we're excited about for this week. So I'm excited to make yummy meals over my long weekend and enjoy a day off and go on some long walks around Virginia and D.C. How about you all?
I am so excited to read Crescent City by Sarah J. Maas. It's her new book, and I want to hang out in my backyard and get my tan on.
Yes.
Yeah, we're super lucky that the weather has been really beautiful here. So this week we have a fire pit that we haven't used in 2 years, so we bought some s'mores materials, and we're gonna probably fire up the fire pit over the weekend and just kind of have s'mores. So I guess that ends our podcast. Thank you so much for listening through if you got to this point, and we're hoping that this, you know, shed some light on some of the mental health issues that have been going on. And yeah, do you guys want to add anything?
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And of course, we talked about a lot of resources today. So please check out the description and check out our Instagram at The Triage. We share a lot of helpful infographics to help spread the word, and you can help spread the word by sharing our posts on your story.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.